This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Brian Sexton, joined by Vic Ketchman. Hello, Vic.
Hi. What happened to the other guy? Did he die?
Oh, Charlie Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Contract ran out.
Oh, is that what happened?
Contract ran out.
Wait, we got this guy cheap? That sounds pretty good.
Charlie's
a little dramatic, you know.
Yeah.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, how much do we save?
Turn your mic on and talk to the crowd.
Okay. We did okay? So there's more money in this than for us.
He's a good guy.
We could spread that, splash that around a little, huh?
Absolutely.
Is he a Jacksonville guy?
No, he's out of Atlanta. It's Jeff Davis. Good
Jeff
voice.
Davis. He was in the Civil War, wasn't he?
Could be, yes.
He's an old guy. Sounds good for an old guy.
It's a lot of bourbon.
Two more weeks of this nonsense, folks, and then we'll be talking about real football. Brian Sexton, along with the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman.
Hello.
Haven't seen you in a month. You look good.
Yeah, you know, it's... I love football.
Yeah.
Looking forward to
it's
it coming out of that.
Go.
But I have read so many great books in the last month of
What's
my life.
What's your favorite?
I've been fortunate enough to have some guys like Tim Mingy, scout here, who's got the greatest sports book library on the face of the earth.
Tim has no wife and no kids, right?
That's a great life.
That allows him to have that many sports books.
Right. He's intelligent.
He got time to read.
And he's calm, and, you know.
He is very calm.
He doesn't have to do things like I did today, find somebody to fix a drawer. You know.
In your kitchen or?
Kitchen.
Okay.
That's, you know those things.
Yeah,
that's,
no, I know.
He's,
yeah.
And he, you know, but anyhow, he brings me some books. I read a book written by Alex Karras, and he had, of course, a writer back in the 70s. The name of the book is Big Guys Do Cry. I remember when it came out back then, New York Times bestseller, but for whatever reason, I didn't read it. Here it is all these years later, 32 years later. I read it. It's fabulous. Just fabulous.
What's it about? Is it about his suspension?
About Alex Karras. And the suspension is in it.
For gambling?
It's just about Alex Karras and the life of the son of Greek immigrants growing up in Gary, Indiana, and playing for the Detroit Lions in the Joe Schmidt years and in some great years, the post-Bobby Lane years, and playing at Iowa for Forrest Evershevsky. It's just fabulous, fabulous stuff, you know, and funny, really funny. I'm finishing up a book now that found its way from Gene Smith to Tim Mingy to me, Paul Brown. Wonderful book. The biography of Paul Brown, but this one's got stuff in it. You know, this isn't just to get down on your knees and praise Paul Brown.
Is this a recent one, or is this one?
This is a recent book on Paul Brown, the inventor of modern football. Very, very good. I'd say within the last 2-3 years.
Okay.
And I've read other stuff too. I read a book by Anderson Cooper of CNN in the last week.
Do you know who his mother was? I found
Gloria Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Didn't know it.
Yeah.
Didn't know it. He's
I didn't know it either.
I also didn't know that his brother, older brother, committed suicide.
I didn't know
he's
that.
He's been haunted by that all his life. He's really an interesting guy. So, I mean, here I've done a lot of reading and really good stuff. It's been a good summer. I'm ready to come out of the cocoon again.
Okay.
But it's been a good July.
Good. Yeah, you look, dare I say, lighthearted.
Yes.
Yeah, you look like you're ready to just relax.
Yes. I did a story for Jaguars.com yesterday with our missing partner, Jeff Lagerman.
Yeah, I think he's in Minneapolis this week.
On the first training camp in Jaguars history.
Which just floods the memory lane.
Loved doing it. I loved doing the story. I hope people enjoyed reading it.
I saw the picture of Lagerman as the feature, obviously, of your story, and just had to laugh because he was the most miserable guy that training camp, and it had nothing to do with the heat. Mm-hmm. He just really hated training camp.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what I'm about to kick into next. The next bit of reading. Oh, I've got two on my desk. One is the top 25 college football teams in history.
Okay.
And they rank them 1 through 25, and it's really well done.
Number one is
1971 Nebraska.
Okay.
That's Johnny Rodgers. Did I ever tell you the story? I'm getting too long-winded.
Go ahead and tell the story now that you've thrown it out
there. This is a true story. A couple years ago, remember the Jaguars played the Patriots here?
Yeah.
That's when Clint Ingram kicked Brady in the back of the head.
I do.
All right. That was the day before Christmas or Christmas Day,
yeah,
something
it was
like that?
Right around Christmas.
Well, I had to go up.
2006.
I had to go up to Penn State. My youngest son was graduating. So I went up for his graduation ceremony. And I had to fly back immediately because the game was the next day. And it's a tough place to get into and out, but I end up in Charlotte.
Really
I'm in Charlotte and getting the plane late at night from Charlotte to Jacksonville. It's Christmas Eve. I'm pretty sure it is, or the day before Christmas Eve.
It was right there.
And the plane is crowded, and some big kid comes on. He's disheveled, and he's got a heavy coat on, and he's playing some football video game. And he sits down next to me. It's two seats on one side, two seats on the other side, small plane. And he sits down next to me and starts jostling me. He starts bumping me. And I'm in a bad mood anyhow because I've been traveling all day long. And I finally turn to him and say, hey, yeah, how about a little break here, you know? And he looks at me. And when I looked at him, I realized who it was. It's the quarterback from Jacksonville, the Wake Forest quarterback. He's going back to Jacksonville for Christmas.
I remember.
So I look while we're on a plane. I'm sitting next to him. I look down. He's playing the video game, the current Wake Forest, that 2006 Wake Forest team against the 1971 Nebraska team.
Imagine what you say to him.
You know you can do that.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I watch this. You know, all the thumbs are going the whole flight. We land, and I turned to him and I said, hey, I'm sorry for popping off. I said, I've been on planes all day long in airports. He goes, all right. I said, hey, by the way, I pointed to the game, you lose.
What did he
and
say?
He laughed.
Yeah, yeah. You figure that out. That Johnny Rogers team.
Yeah, Wake Forest ain't beating 71
no,
Nebraska.
No chance of that. So before we go to the first break, and then I'm going to go do TV, so Joe is going to join you. When I come back in the second half hour, what if we just talk about storylines for training camp? Just, you know, five or six big storylines that you're looking forward to.
Oh, lovely.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So let's take this break. Folks, as we go to it, the Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a variety of merchants right here in Jacksonville. Save on things like Jaguars gear to money-saving offers at your favorite restaurant and a whole lot more. Go to jaguars.com/rewards to find out more info on the Jaguars Rewards Program. Vic and Joe take you to the bottom of the hour. When we return here on News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
And that is the voice of Jeff Davis. I'm Joe Fortunato. Brian's doing his TV thing. That doesn't matter, though, because Vic Ketchman's here. You're what matters.
No Sexton. No Logman. Ketchman is in the house with Fortunato.
How about that?
And we need your help, folks. Give us a call, please.
Hey, do me a favor. I was talking with some folks around here today, and I didn't realize because I wasn't here for a little bit last year. Tell me about Paul Smith.
The quarterback?
Yeah.
He's a great kid.
Is he?
He's got a great mind for the game. That's why he's here. He's not here because of his arm strength. He's not here because of his overpowering athletic ability. He's not here because he's a down the road prospect. He's here because he's a guy who can get the third team, so to speak, in and out of the huddle. He's a guy who can help you conduct an efficient practice. You know that Paul Smith is going to do things the right way. If he was a couple inches taller and 20 pounds heavier and a little faster and had a stronger arm, you know, you got something. But he's a guy, Paul's a guy who kind of hit the max of his abilities in college at Tulsa. And I don't see him as a prospect other than as someone who's going to contend for a roster spot. I think that's going to be that's going to be his career. That's the way it's going to be during his career. But I can think, Joe, of other guys in who have been in that capacity their whole careers, and they made a long career of it. And the first guy who comes to mind is a guy named Alex Van Pelt, who was the backup quarterback in Buffalo for like 10 years. And Alex Van Pelt probably made 20 times as much money as Johnny Unitas or the greatest quarterbacks in the game. He made more money than Terry Bradshaw. He made more money, probably made more money than Dan Marino, mm-hmm. You know, because he played 9 or 10 years during the really lucrative years for players in the National Football League. If Paul Smith could put together that kind of a career, it would be fabulous. It would be a fabulous career because it's professional football. It's about the money. The idea is to establish something for your long time financial security. And if Paul's going to do that, he's going to do it with his. He's the son of a coach,
right?
So if he's going to do it, he's going to do it with what's between his ears. Now, the guy they brought in at the end of OTAs, Todd Beckman from Ohio State. We only got one chance to see him, one practice to see him, so I'm not going to offer any kind of talent evaluation there, but I'll tell you this. This is a big, raw-boned guy. Looks like he's got a pretty good arm. Looks like he's got some poise about him. Looks like he's got a good Ohio State pedigree. When I say Ohio State pedigree, that's not so much for quarterbacks because they haven't been real successful in turning out quarterbacks, but he looks like a guy who's been through the wars, has been through big games, and that's what I mean by a pedigree. So Beckman is a guy who's going to give Paul. He's going to give Paul Smith a run for his money.
Sure. The first thing you said though is Smith's the kind of guy who can take care of the third team. Could he be the second team guy? That's originally why I asked.
Not this year. Paul still has a chance. He's young enough that he can get bigger and he can get stronger and he can. I believe he can gain some arm strength. But there is a barrier there. There is a limit. He's a guy who will always every so often will really wobble one down the field, and you'll go, "Oh my, what is that?"
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy you never worry about. You never worry about him being prepared for practice. You never worry about him being late. You never worry about him, stalling practice. You know, turning it into a fiasco because he doesn't know what to do. He's going to get his team, his third unit, get the threes in training camp, in and out of the huddle, and they're going to know where to go, or he's going to help them, know where to be and what to do. He's a coach on the field for the threes. And,
okay.
You know, in training camp, you got a lot of threes.
We got some folks on the line that do want to talk.
Good.
355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. That's 6351 if you don't do letters. Let's talk to Ed. Ed, you're on with Vic.
Hey, Vic. I got a question for you. You know, everybody's talking about how the defense was bad last year, and I think one of the things that they were really bad that a Jack Del Rio team was not known for was bad form tackling. I thought there was a lot of missed tackles last year that was not a Jack Del Rio defense. Is there a way that they can teach that during training camp, or is that just something that you either got it or you don't?
Yeah, nowadays, I'm sorry, caller, I didn't get the name. Joe, do you?
It's Ed.
Ed, that's right. Ed, nowadays, probably every talk show for every team that has one, as we have one here on Wednesday, their guys are probably getting the same question. I mean, everybody is disgusted with the tackling in the league. And it's just real simple. You don't see hip pads anymore. You don't see thigh pads. You don't see knee pads. You see the little shoulder pads. You don't see players nowadays get their uniforms dirty. This is a game played on your feet. These players play on their feet. This is not a shoulder game anymore. This is not a hips and shoulder game anymore. You know, it used to be the thing you heard. The thing I heard as a writer over and over from coaches was under and up, strike the rising blow, play with leverage, which meant drop your hips and coil yourself and hit the guy in a rising posture so that you're driving up through his chest so that you are, driving and wrapping and then dropping him in a square to the line of scrimmage kind of a posture. Well, I mean, you don't hear anything like that anymore. These coaches can't teach that. You can't teach that to players who aren't padded. You can't teach that to players who are on rosters that are limited to 80 now in training camp. 80. When I started doing this, 150 was the norm. Roster sizes were unlimited. You could take as many guys as you wanted to training camp. The Cowboys would routinely take 250 guys. They'd cut 35 the first day. You would have cuts every day of camp. They would cut guys. Those days are long gone. When I started covering the National Football League, there were 26 teams. There were 17 rounds of the draft. There were unlimited roster sizes. Well, you know, and there were, I think, 35 more or 50 more major college football programs. So you had a lot more players in the talent pool for fewer teams, and roster sizes were 40. When I started, that's what the final cuts were, 40. At one point, they had gotten as low as 38 in the National Football League. But when I started covering the NFL, it was right around 40, 42. Now it's 53, and you got 8 more for a practice squad. That's 61. You take 80 to camp, and 61 are going to be with you during, you know, after you pick your practice squads following final cuts. It means you're only cutting really 19 guys. If you make it to an NFL camp nowadays, it's very unlikely that you're not going to kick around the league, hang around the league for the next few years. The days of these big cuts, 25 guys, 30 guys at a time, the days of cutting a guy and never seeing him again, those days are over. All you got to do nowadays is get to a training camp, and it's an athletic game. It's a game of pitch and catch. It's a game of push and shove. It's no longer a game of hip pads, thigh pads, knee pads, or much in the way of shoulder pads either. And remember the neck braces? You get the guys wearing the neck collars. When's the last time you saw a guy wearing a neck collar? I mean, it's just everything has changed. Tackling is no longer the be-all and end-all of football as it used to be, unfortunately.
Nicely done, Victor.
Well,
all right,
you.
John, you are on Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, real good. How about you?
All right. When he was talking about the top 25 in college, I was just kind of wondering who ranked like in the top 10, because I remember a coach saying he had the best team last year. But the other thing he brought up was...
What are you talking about? What coach?
Urban Meyer.
Oh.
His best team ever.
Okay, but you said coach. I this is a Jaguars show, and usually when people refer to coach,
no, not our,
it doesn't
not our coach.
Mean Urban Meyer.
I'm sorry. Don't get me confused with that. No, not our coach. But the other thing you brought up about Beckman, because that's and I've talked before. He's a hometown boy. I mean, he's actually a lot of his family and friends work with my brother, and
where?
If you pardon,
where are you?
I'm in right now. I'm Keystone Heights. I've been here.
He's from Ohio. One of the towns on the Ohio River.
No, he isn't.
I think you got the wrong guy.
No, I do not have the wrong guy. He's from New Bremen, Ohio. He's right next to Anna. It's
Well, what you got me so confused here. I mean, I'm going nuts.
Okay.
You're telling me he's a hometown boy, and you're right here. And where did you say you were?
I actually he plays actually in the same conference that I played in when I was back in.
Where
school.
Are you?
I was from Indian Lake, Ohio.
Where are you now?
Keystone Heights, Florida.
Well, how does that make him a hometown guy, Jim?
I'm lost, man.
Because that's my hometown is back there, is what I'm saying.
But you see, you're assuming that we know who you are and we know your history.
I'm sorry, Vic. But
so you agree that he's not a Jacksonville native?
Oh no, he's not a Jacksonville native. No. I didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I confused you. Well, actually, probably the way I said it. But, no, the thing is if you want to compare him to somebody as far as a true blue and going in as an Ohio State player, I compare him to Tom Tupa.
Well, there's a whole bunch of these Ohio State guys. Bobby Hoying, Tom Tupa, Joe Germain. I mean, it's just, you know.
But Tom Tupa was a punter.
Yeah, but he played quarterback, too. And there's a whole bunch of these guys. A whole bunch of them.
He played quarterback for Ohio State.
Okay.
You know that.
Well, trust me when I tell you that Ohio State has turned out bust after bust after bust of
quarterback.
Of quarterback. I mean, they are a quarterback graveyard. All I can tell you about this kid is he's a big guy, and he's got a good-looking arm, and he looks like he has some poise about him. So I think he's a person of interest.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Victor.
Oh, yeah.
Hometown Victor.
Clairvoyant, I am not.
Yes, you are. All right, we'll be back. This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Edna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Edna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember, stop by the brand new Best Buy over in the St. Johnstown Center. Sexton and Ketchman, along with Fortunato. Loggy's out this week and next. So when he returns, we'll be in training camp. 355-NFL-1, if you'd like to join us on the show, 355-6351. I imagine, you know, you've already outlined the storylines that you're going to follow when training camp opens.
Yeah, I got a handle on it. I did it before I left on vacation. I kind of went through it. Yeah.
So, you know, what does your news budget look like? I mean, what's story number one? Is it
safety.
Getting you? Okay. I thought maybe it was going to be getting Eugene Monroe into camp, because that's not going to be an easy
one. Well, no question.
When you look at all the number one picks that we have listed up on the board there, there are only two, both of them quarterbacks, both of them in the top five picks.
Yeah. No question the Eugene Monroe thing is going to be story number one. But once they get into camp and they settle into the position battles, I think safety, the battle at safety, the two safety positions, I think that's the key, because it's going to hold the key to some other stuff they do. For instance, Brian Williams, is he a corner or is he a safety? If other guys climb, for instance, the guy from Detroit, Gerald Alexander,
right?
If he was to be the player they think he is.
Well, they played left and right safeties last year, correct?
In Detroit. Well, he was only there for five games.
Right, he was out with
But left and right is not to say that you're playing strong safety at any time.
Right.
Left and right is a different animal. What you're doing there is you're really playing too deep. You're really playing a lot of cover, too. It's not the same as strong safety, because strong safety is bringing that guy, that eighth guy, up into the box every once in a while.
Run.
And Donovan Darius was a strong safety, a classic strong safety. Yes, Alexander did some strong safety type of things in a left and right system, but he was never what you'd call a true strong safety. Gerald Alexander is a true free safety, a true free safety. Now, he's big enough and allegedly a good enough tackler to be strong safety, but that's not where his experience is. He was a cornerback at Boise State. He was a pure free safety his first year with the Lions. So if you're talking in terms of making him a strong safety, I don't know that you're making him a better player.
So he's here for one reason. He's here to push Reggie Nelson.
That's my opinion. I mean, look, let's get this all through our heads. I know it was just OTAs, but Sean Considine was, without a doubt,
the best safety on the field
all spring long. He had the most interceptions. He had the most passes defensed. He was the guy that was most instinctive. He was the guy who showed the most energy. He showed the most suddenness, you know, the ability to do something beyond just play the scheme. If Sean Considine plays in training camp at the level he played in OTAs, well, he's a starter.
Right? Oh, yeah.
He's on the field.
Well, I can't imagine that.
And he is not a free safety.
Right. I can't imagine that he's not going to be the starter based on the way that he played in those OTAs.
Yeah, I don't know that Sean Considine has a speed to range sideline to sideline as a free safety. I see him more as a strong safety. I know he's a little on the smallish side, but he's a hell for leather kind of guy,
right?
You know, because he plays special teams. I think he's got got a definite leg up on the strong safety job.
So Reggie Nelson versus Gerald Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Major storyline to watch on the defensive side of the ball.
Hey, you know, when they traded for Gerald Alexander, they were saying something. Now, I'm not going to put words in their mouth because they're still on vacation and we haven't been able to ask the head coach yet, what are your plans for Gerald Alexander? So I'm not going to put words in their mouth and I'm not going to guess at it. But my instincts tell me that there is a dissatisfaction with what they have at safety. They wanted to deepen themselves. I think that goes without saying, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It was very bad last year. And, you know, the thing is if you solidify it, whether it's Reggie or Gerald, and Considine is what he was in OTAs, well, with Rasheen Mathis and Brian Williams and potentially Derek Cox, I mean, you give yourselves a pretty good secondary.
Kennard Cox, the other Cox,
I'd forgotten about Cox, Kennard, right,
is a guy who can play some corner, can play a lot of safety and some corner. He's a guy to watch.
Okay.
Michael Desormeaux, the undrafted guy from Louisiana Lafayette. He made big gains in OTAs. He still looks like, he's still at the end of spring, looked like a quarterback trying to become a safety. But that will change most quickly after the pads go on and he has to learn to be a tackler. Then the change becomes much easier,
right,
to make, because you've got that physicality going for you at that point. You know, your nose is bloodied.
All right. So what's the second?
Marlon McCree another guy. Yeah. Marlon McCree is another guy they brought in here. I mean, they have brought in a lot of safeties, and then there's of course Brian Williams. If these guys were to do well, the Gerald Alexanders of the world, the Desormeaux, the Considines, Reggie Nelson, et cetera, do well. Kennard Cox is another one. Brian Williams stays a corner.
Right.
And now you got a head-to-head battle between him and Derek Cox.
Okay. There's, yeah.
So that's why I say safety, I think, is the key on defense.
Okay. What's storyline number two, then, before we take our break? is it Derek Harvey?
No, well, no, I think storyline number two then goes to right tackle on offense.
Tony Pashos versus Evan Britton.
Yeah, Pashos, clearly ended the spring, in my opinion, a head above Evan Britton. Pashos clearly was the better player in the spring.
Right.
now, when they put the pads on, can Evan Britton close that gap?
Britton has all the ability to do that. I mean, he's got the desire, he's got the intellect, he's got the physical skills to do that. What, in your estimation, what is it that drove Pashos? Because he didn't finish last season very strong. Was that it, or was it Britton?
Well, clearly, again, when you draft tackles with your first two picks, I think you're saying that not only do we pick the best available player, but we didn't have any problem picking these best available players,
right,
because we weren't happy with our tackle prospects. You know, I understand that they profess not to be need-based, but I still don't think you can dismiss the fact that that the first two picks were tackles. I think it says something.
Is Tony fighting for a spot on the roster? If Britton wins the job.
If Britton wins the job,
then
he's fighting for a roster spot. But at this point in time, Brian, when they drafted Britton, there was no doubt in my mind. I'm not going to say it that way. I believed when they drafted Britton, Tony was a goner.
Right.
He's got a high salary.
Didn't play well last year.
But he clearly was the better player in the spring.
All right.
There's a gap between those two guys.
355-NFL-1. Let's take a break. As we go, Jaguars fans, be sure to log on to Jaguars.com and play the AMC Theaters Movie of Trivia Challenge. It's your chance to win free movie tickets and more. Another segment, we come back. More storylines that you'll find on Jaguars.com when training camp opens a week from Monday. Only on Jaguars This Week here on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
When you're looking for department store style, folks, at discount prices, and who isn't these days, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. They've got 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. Sexton, Ketchman, Fortunato. You, if you care to join us, 355-NFL-1. We've been talking about the big storylines that you will be reading about when training camp opens on Jaguars.com. We mentioned safety. We talked about right tackle. What else? What else stands out? Does the receiving core bear the kind of attention that it's had in recent years, or has it had the attention already?
I think the receiving core is fixed.
Right.
I just think this now is a matter of these guys growing into their roles and then getting a little better the following year and bringing in another guy here and another guy there. But the mass exodus, the mass turnover at that position, I believe has been affected. I believe there's going to be a major improvement in the receiving core. In OTAs, clearly, David Garrard had an eye for Torrey Holt. Torrey Holt didn't run a lot of routes. He didn't log a lot of practice time. But when he ran a pass route, David Garrard was looking his way.
Right.
So I expect Torrey Holt to be the apple of David Garrard's eye. And these other guys are going to compete for some attention from their quarterback.
You have a sense of what Torrey Holt has left in the tank after OTAs? I know it's tough to decide. But
I was kind of worried about him for a while. And then on the last day of OTAs, and this is what wily veterans do, he flashed. He gave us something to take to the golf course.
Okay.
You know, he gave us something to take to with us on vacation. On the last day, he flashed. In fact, he caught a ball, split the defense, and caught a ball down the seam, touchdown. And he got, there was a major oohs and ahs kind of reaction from the players on the field. And that's always a good thing. When the players ooh and ah, that means they saw something that they consider to be special. I like that a lot. I was starting to worry about him a little bit because he was starting to get some Jerry Porter time, you know?
Right, on the side.
Exactly. And I don't want that to happen because Torrey Holt is a great guy. He is a reporter's
dream.
He's
a pro's pro, man.
He's a pro's pro, and he's a reporter's dream. He's a great talker. The fans are going to love him. The media is going to love him. And all of that, of course, hinges on his ability to play.
Tyquan Underwood sat in that seat
last week,
and he raved about Torrey Holt. I know you're not big on the whole leadership thing. It's professional football. It's about being a pro.
It's not that I'm not big on leadership. It's that I think we overdo it.
Okay, but what can Tyquan Underwood get from a guy like Torrey Holt, who, as you just mentioned, is a pro's pro and a great guy, as well as one of the all-time greats at the position?
Well, I know exactly what he can get from Torrey Holt. A target. All right. These guys don't get on their knees, you know. This is a competition. When a young player sees a great older player, then he sets his sights on displacing that guy.
Right.
All right. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Sure.
Torrey Holt is a target. He's a target for all these young receivers to outdo Torrey Holt, to replace Torrey Holt, to be better than Torrey Holt. That's the way it should be. Torrey Holt said it down the hall a couple of months ago. He said it in a really cryptic way. He says, "Yeah, I'll help him. I'll help him right to the bench."
Right.
Remember that?
I do remember that. That stands. That's Torrey's professionalism. He understands he's got to win the job.
Years ago, there was an old punter from Waycross, Georgia, a guy named Bobby Walton. Well, he didn't make any bones about it. When they would bring punters in to push him, he would stand right next to them as they were taking the snap. He'd stand 3-4 feet away from them and look them right in the ear hole. I mean, he had them so jittery, you know, and they would punt one and he'd say, "Didn't get much hang time on that one, did you, boy?" You know, I mean,
right.
He killed him.
Right.
He killed him. And if a guy can't, if he can't deal with that kind of pressure, he's not going to be worth a darn in a game. But Bobby Walden knew that he was his primary objective in training camp was to hold his job. And I guarantee you, Torrey Holt would tell you that's his primary objective. And I guarantee you, Tyquan Underwood and these rookies, after they get, you know, after they set aside their little Shirley Temple routine, will tell you that their that what they want to do is get Torrey Holt out of the starting lineup and get themselves in.
All right, so how much is the glare of the spotlight going to focus on Derek Harvey? I mean, there's a lot of other camp battles.
In the preseason games. Now, he's got to show us at some point that he was worth the eighth pick of the draft and that he can be this team's primo pass rusher going forward. If that doesn't happen, it's devastating because you have to have a premier pass rusher.
Right. Especially for what you paid for that one.
$17.5 million. And
draft choices. That...
And the worst part is that what you paid him is going to be used against you in what you're going to have to pay Eugene Monroe.
You look, and there are only two first-round picks signed. I mean, that is at this point, yeah, at this point, generally there are half a dozen guys, you know, maybe a little bit more than that in, but, you know, not at the two quarterbacks at the top, but no one else is even close. And training camp opens a week from Monday.
You know, Brian, there are lots of storylines with this team, but the one major storyline, in my opinion, for this whole season is ticket sales. This team, more than anything, needs for its fan base to fall in love with the team.
Right.
It needs to establish that relationship that it thought it was building in the early years, for instance, in 96 when they came back from Denver and there were people waiting for them out here in the stadium for a celebration. When the plane flew over the stadium and dipped its wing.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Don't you think this is the kind of team that...
They need to do that again. They need to establish a love affair between the players and the fans and the players.
Don't you think that this is the kind of team that could? Because there's so many young players and there are so few expectations for this team.
These young receivers are charming. I mean, these guys are... They have a little savoir faire.
This is a very interesting draft class.
Yes, it is.
They are a good group.
Zach Miller,
could be
everything they wanted Matt Jones to be. Zach Miller could be. He has that kind of country charm.
Yeah,
and he has ability. He has
Dallas Clark like ability.
Yeah, he has ability that goes beyond Matt Jones.
It's unbelievable.
They have a chance. They have a chance. Obviously, you have to win games. But it doesn't have to be all win.
Playing hard,
just somehow weaving your way into the fans' heart. That's what has to happen.
All right. Well, it's nice to have you back.
Well, thank you.
Big smile on your face. Training camp 1 week from Monday, folks. 10:45 in the morning on August the 3rd is when it all gets started. Vic and I will be back here next Wednesday night. A little more preview for you for the start of training camp. Well, you know it, we're going to be up and going here with the Jaguars and the Dolphins on Monday night, the 17th of August. Thanks to Joe Fortunato, and most of all, thanks to you for joining us this evening. Have a great night, everybody.